This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. We have part two of the four-part series on performance horse nutrition for you this week, and we are also going to be hearing from Peggy Klump about the Riders Award program. But first, one item of news. The USDF's historical awards reports, the breeder's horse portfolio, as well as the owner-lessee horse portfolio, and the dam sire reports are all available on the USDF website at no cost. To access the free reports, you must have a current USDF participating group or business membership and be logged into the USDF website at usdf.org. Peggy Klump is chair of the USDF Awards Committee, and she joins us now to talk about the Rider Award Program. Peggy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with something of an overview of the USDF Rider Award Program. Tell us what it is.
Basically, the USDF Rider Award Program is an award program designed to provide recognition from USDF as a rider moves up through the levels.
And there are different awards available within that program, aren't there? So why don't you break those down for us?
Yes, there's quite a large number of various awards within the awards program for riders specifically. And basically, the Rider Awards program, if anybody's interested, they can refer to the USDF member guide. It's available as a hard copy, as well as the information is on the website. Now, the Rider Awards program is a little different and unique than some of the others because it's based against the standard rather than being based against competition with each other competitors. And basically what we have is we have the bronze, silver, and gold medals. And this is probably one of the USDF's most successful programs that we've had over many decades. Riders at the bronze level can earn their scores at first, second, and third level for the bronze. They can earn their silver medal at fourth level in Prix St. George, and then at the Grand Prix and intermediate, they can earn their gold medals. Also along with that, we have the bronze and silver gold freestyle bars, which are for freestyle scores. So I don't go into that in details because people can look that up. But in addition, we also have rider performance awards at training in first and second levels. And then in making the program more comprehensive, we have a Master's Challenge Awards. And that's for competitors age 60 and above at training first, second, third, fourth levels, and FEI. So anyway, anybody that's interested can take a look at the requirements outlined for the Master's Challenge. One thing I would also like to point out, there are some specific requirements for qualification. The rider must be a group member, or they can also be a participating member. And let me see if I can make sure that's really clear. For rider awards, the rider doesn't have to be a participating member. They can just join their local club. And that's one of the things that's really unique to this rider program. Along with the participating or group membership for the rider, and they must be earned at USDF, USEF licensed competition or recognized competition. And again, riders can certainly call the office and ask for the awards liaison and get any questions answered in terms of details.
Are there any sort of general requirements other than those you've mentioned, Peggy, that the listeners should be aware of?
Yes, and I really do encourage USDF members to look and really scan carefully the requirements. It's very disappointing for riders who are out there working very hard to earn their various and sundry different awards and then come to find out midway through the season they had forgotten something. And oftentimes there's confusion because there's such a broad scope and depth of the awards program. For example, for the rider medals, those do not have to be earned in any one year. That can be over even a couple of decades. The biggest issue is the rider must be able to show they have copies of the tests that they've earned. So again, because it's a little complex, I really encourage any member who is interested in these programs to read the materials that are available. And when you have questions, please feel free to call the USDF office to get clarification so that when you think you've earned your award, that you don't find out all of a sudden there was a misunderstanding.
Now, and what about the scores then, just to give us a sense of whether, you know, a rider would have to ride the highest level, test at that level, or are there scores awarded at any test of that level?
And that's a great question for sure. Absolutely. In the case of the rider awards, the rider does not have to ride the highest testable level. In the case, for example, if you're looking at the bronze medal, you simply need two scores at first level, two scores at second level, and two scores at third level. So there's a flexibility there. There is an application process. The information is available online. You do have to, once your scores are received, you do have to apply. One other detail I'd like to point out is, because there's no expiration on the scores, if you have a score from, say, before 2000, maybe you have a score from like 1985, the really great news is that as long as the USDF staff can verify through your GMO or some other means, for example, you have a copy of the test that you got the score with a judge's signature, that test will count as long as it can be verified. And the great news is that they really do go out of their way to try to make sure that a rider gets credit for a score that was earned, even if it was earned quite a long time ago.
So talk us through the next steps then, Peggy. People have accumulated their scores. They've earned them throughout any period of time, as you mentioned. What do they have to do then in terms of the application?
And basically, the application is located on the USDF website, and it's under the awards forms and documents. And if you would like to get your award in this particular year, say, for example, you get your final scores in the year 2015, you must meet the deadline and have the application in by the end of September, the last day in September, in order to be able to get that award this year. But you fill out the application. The USDF staff will then verify. There's a $25 one-time fee. They want to make sure that you're a member and that you've earned the award. The most important part here to remember is it's very important for USDF, and one of my keys as the chair of the committee is to make sure we protect the integrity and the value of the awards. So that's why we want to make sure that there's not a misunderstanding where the rider thinks that maybe they earned it and when they really didn't. And a couple of examples where people get very frustrated is occasionally they will ask for exceptions to the rules and say, well, gee, I got more scores at third level. Can I just use, you know, four or five scores at third level instead of getting the first level scores? And the answer to that, I'm sorry to say, is no, because, for example, the bronze medal shows a progressive skill of the rider of having to get the scores at first level, at second level, and third level. And because it is a rider-based award, it is absolutely not necessary. You earn it on the same horse. You can use any number of horses over any number of years. But it is important the USDF staff adhere to what the rules are, because one of our goals is to make sure we protect the value of the USDF award and we maintain a level playing field so that every competitor has to earn the same value to the award as every other competitor.
Well, for those who are listening that have already received awards, they know what they look like and they know how prestigious that awards event is during the annual convention, Peggy. But describe, for the benefit of those who've not yet received an award, what they look like.
Actually, it's really nice. And there's a multiple level of the award. Basically, the bronze, silver, and gold medals are a replica of the USDF insignia on a coin-looking medal that reflects the color, whether it's bronze, silver, or gold. Along with that, the rider gets a very nice certificate. I'm very happy to say that my committee has worked very hard over this last year, and the certificates have completely been redesigned and look very beautiful with wonderful graphics. And again, with the certificate, you get your medal so that you can put your certificate showing your accomplishment of earning the bronze, silver, or gold, or the freestyle bars. And in addition to that, one of the great things is, if you'd like everybody in the country that rides in dressage to know that you've won the award, you can purchase a lapel pin that actually is a replica of the gold, silver, or bronze, or the freestyle bar that you can put on your lapel jacket. Just a few months ago, it was very exciting for the awards committee to see one of the top FEI riders on the front cover of the USDF Connections magazine, and that person was displaying their lapel pins with all of their rider medals that they had won. So that's pretty exciting and kind of a nice thing. The lapel pin can be ordered as soon as your application is processed, so you don't have to wait to receive the actual medal or the free sale bar. And they can be ordered through the online store available at the USDF website or by calling USDF directly.
Well, you mentioned the USDF Connection magazine. Of course, the yearbook features these award winners. So when should the riders submit their pictures for that magazine?
Again, one of the things that you can do is if you're not sure, is that each of the regions has a regional newsletter, and usually that information is provided towards the end of the show season. For us, that's about the end of middle of end of September. But basically, again, the closeout for the year is the last day in September, so that you need to put your application in. And during that time frame, you need to submit the request for your current medal, your freestyle bar, your master's challenge award. Eligible recipients can submit their pictures throughout the whole month of September, and you must fill out the USDF photo release form that's on the USDF website under forms and in documents. And that way you can actually get your picture in the Connections magazine.
And finally, Peggy, in summary, any final thoughts there about the program and anything that might be new to those that are already familiar with it but they should know about?
Yes, besides the first thing that I mentioned a few minutes ago was about the new design and the upgrade of the design of the quality of the award certificates. That's going to be new for those that are earning awards for 2015. The Board of Governors and the USDF Executive Board have positively approved the implementation of a brand new precise seat equitation rider award starting in 2016. You'll be able to go on the website sometime in the next several months and be able to look up what was going to be happening with the precise seat equitation rider award. The really great news, this brand new award will be open to GMO members and or participating members. So I'm going to say that again, because for the first time in decades, the GMO member, and that means you join your local organization and you do not have to be a participating member. You can be, but that means without entry-level membership, you can earn this award, the new Dressage Seat Equitation Rider Award. And what it is there's a three-tiered level that will recognize proficiency and excellence in riders who've competed in dressage seat equitation. And the really great news is that they will earn an enameled pin that will be a lapel pin. It will be yellow for the first level, for the entry level, based on your number of scores. It will be red for the second tier and blue for the third tier. And the really great news is that riders who have been showing dressage seat equitation for a number of years can use their scores retroactively. And just for reference too, if any of you that are listening happen to be show managers, we really encourage obviously the show managers to offer these classes. And so also the membership is quite aware. All individuals and categories are eligible to earn these awards. And that does mean yes, besides just the young riders and the juniors who've been riding the dressage seat equitation classes for quite a number of years, it is now open to the adult amateur rider and the professional level rider. Any individual can earn their scores in any one of those categories so that they get a recognition for their excellence within the dressage seat equitation classes.
And, of course, there's always more information on the website at usdf.org on the USDF Rider Award Program. Peggy Klemp, Chairman of the USDF Awards Committee, thank you so much for coming on the program and explaining it to us.
Well, thank you very much for asking us. We're really excited. I think there's a couple of other new things that are on the cutting edge that we're looking at doing for 2016.
And again, you can find more information on the website at usdf.org, and there will be a link in the show notes to this podcast. And now we have part two of the four-part series on performance horse nutrition, which was presented at the 2014 Adequan USDF Annual Meeting by Donald R. Kappa. In this episode, he addresses evaluating body condition.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about the body condition scoring. And what this is it's a list of 1 to 9, two things we could visibly see about the horse if we're feeding an adequate amount or inadequate amount. is fat thickness. And so there's four distinct areas on the body that we're going to evaluate. And we're going to give the crest behind the shoulder, over the rib cover, and the tail head, each a score between 1 and 9. And then when we're done, we're going to average those four scores together, and hopefully we'll come up between a 5 and a 6, which is ideal for our dressage horses today. But this is the scoring system. 1 is totally emaciated, 9 is obese, with 5 being ideal. But most of the horses that we're feeding now are between a 5 and a 6. But this gives you an actual written evaluation of what you would expect that horse to look like. A 3 body condition score looks like. You can see his ribs very plainly. His hip bones are visible. The spinal processes, the whole spine is visible. And his neck does not blend smoothly into his shoulders. Score of 5, and this is what we call ideal. You cannot see the ribs when they're standing still, but you can see them when they're moving. That's an ideal fat cover over the ribs. And then when they get up to a body score of 7, all right, then they're pretty round. And when you put your hand on their ribs and it disappears, they're a little heavy. That at 7 is where you'll start seeing this patchy fat appear. It won't be a nice smooth fat. That patchy fat will actually become its own endocrine system and will start producing cortisol. And as cortisol increases, they reach a certain point and then they founder. So it's critical that when you start seeing this patchy fat occur, and it'll happen when they're 7 or higher, we've got to work them. We've got to reduce the calories in their diet and increase their workload, because you're in for a heartache down the road if we don't address them correctly. The other thing is muscle development. And horses gain and lose muscle all over their entire body. It's just easiest to see deficiencies on their top line. And so that's why we call it our top line development score. And we've called that an A, B, C, or D, depending on the severity of the muscle atrophy on the horse. So we're going to divide that back into 3 areas, from the withers to the back, from the middle of the back to the croup, and then the croup on back and down through the stifle. And A means that they're ideal, that they're nice and rounded on their top line, and he's ready to go to work for you. A B means that he has a sunken area on the back. That means between the vertebrae and the ribs will be a concaved area. That's the beginning signs of a protein or an amino acid deficiency. As it gets worse, and we have a C, then we not only have a sunken in the back area, but we'll have a kind of be able to see these bumps of the vertebrae sticking up, but you'll be able to feel them very, very easily. Now we're in trouble, because that's the biggest muscle in the horse's body, the long distus dorsi. That's what they need to be able to collect and to propel themselves forward and lift their feet, the front ends up off the ground. With a C, you're lucky to get 10 minutes of work out of them, and then they're done. They have nothing more to give you. And that's when sore backs occur. That's when other muscle development issues will occur. And so we need to be able to address this, recognize it, number one, and address it, number two. If they're a D, and the croup or the tail set is actually concave, and you'll also find that the width of the stifle, when viewed from behind, is narrower than the width of the point of hips. The stifle should always be equal to or wider than the point of hips. So, as we said, it's easiest to see on the top line, and it'll begin the loss on the back. It'll be easiest to see there, and then it gradually moves back to the loin, and then the croup, and down the hind leg. And when they rebuild these muscles, they do it in opposite order. And so what you'll see is the hindquarters will fill in first, and then the croup, and then the loin, and the back is always the last. The first to lose it, and the last to replenish it. Now, why did we talk so much about muscle? Because muscle contains 73% amino acids on a dry matter basis. So if they're short on any of the amino acids, the horse has the ability to tear those muscles down to help keep body function going. And so when they tear these muscles down, that's when we start to see a concave appearance or indented. The first thing you'll see, of course, is the top line. The second is it'll affect hair coat and hoof quality, mainly because hooves and hair are 95% amino acids. And so it's a natural hoof problem, quality of problem, and quality of hair problem when they're on a deficient amino acid diet. Third is just an overall unthrifty condition and poor health. So all of this body weight versus muscle scoring will work at any level, from weanlings to yearlings, backyard pleasure horses, even the high-end performance horses. So then what we did is we put together a research trial, and this one we took 30 horses. They were all mature. None of them were being worked before, and none of them were being worked as we went through the trial. And what we wanted to do was measure their longissimus dorsi, that area of the loin, while they were not being worked. But what we did feed was a maintenance level. We made sure that they were getting all the amino acids they needed. The results of this study was we had an average of 19% increase in size of their loin when fed a maintenance level of amino acids every day. Now that was a real eye-opener for us. Now what we're doing now, and we're in the middle of it, is we're taking horses and we're feeding them maintenance levels, and then we're feeding them performance levels and working them. And hopefully, well, by this fall, we'll be publishing that work, and I expect to see even better results. If we can do this with no work, what can we do as we increase the workload with it, along with that? Now, we had a very interesting conversation a few months ago with Dr. Stephanie Valberg, who is one of the leading researchers on PSSM. And she called and she said, I was sure this horse had a problem, and they did the biopsy and it doesn't. He said, but it had every symptoms of it. She said, but it has something in it that I've never seen before. She said, these little fat globules inside the muscle. And she said, I've never seen it. What is that? And I said, well, what's his top line look like? And they said, well, he's, you know, their backbone's sticking up quite high. Their horse is too heavy, but the protein is definitely low on this horse. And I said, well, this is what we call marbling. The way we get marbling inside the loin is we lower the percentage of protein in the diet and increase the caloric density. So when people are afraid to feed protein, they feed low protein diets with high levels of calories or high fat diets, and they can get their horse ready to market in a very short time. Right? But what it does is it impairs muscle function to a point that it makes it look like the polysaccharide storage myopathy. Also, the minerals, calcium is important in the firing of the muscle function, but it's a very small amount we actually see in the muscle. But look at the phosphorus at 0.5%. Not many people are aware of how critical phosphorus is to the metabolic rate of the horse. So on four phosphorus deficient diets, we're seeing an increased amount of metabolic issues today, especially when phosphorus hit $1,500 a ton when it used to be $250. So the first thing they did was they took it out of the feed because it made it cost too much. Now we're seeing phosphorus deficiencies where we haven't seen it in years. But we're seeing it today because too many people are buying on price per bag, not knowing what the horse needs to develop and perform optimally. On amino acids, they are the building blocks of protein. Horse does not have a real requirement for crude protein, but they do have a requirement for amino acids. They are broken down into essential and non-essential amino acids. Essential means that we have to provide those amino acids every day because they can't make them, or they can't make enough to meet their needs. The non-essential amino acids, they can create enough from a normal diet to meet those needs.
And we'll be continuing this four-part series in next week's episode. In the meanwhile, you can find a companion article in the May issue of USDF Connection magazine. And you can, of course, find more information on the topics that we cover here on the podcast and accompanying educational resources on the website at usdf.org. There's lots more in the eTrack section. As well as being able to listen to this podcast on the website at usdf.org, you can also download it from the iTunes podcast store. Just look for USDF and download it to your smartphone or tablet app, such as Podbean or Stitcher. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you to all of you, wherever you are in the world, for tuning in. And until next time, remember that the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.